going to start with two recorded works, just what used to be called tape works, I guess, but today they're, you know, digital works, you know, for stereo playback. So let's talk about those a little bit. So the first one it has been added just this week to the program, which is tell me the title again.
That's called "Please Stop Scratching That Gash," and it was made for an 8-channel sound cube, Charlie Morrow's installation. So in fact, it was kind of built architecturally in a way, but it's still nice to hear as a stereo piece, although it was conceived to be an 8-channel.
So I've heard it once now already, and it's definitely as a lot of Shelley's, a lot of your work. I'm not certain that it was had a narrative, a real literal narrative, but it certainly had a story and a very clear sort of imagistic kind of scene that you're sketching out. Can you tell us a little bit about that, just so we have some idea what we're hearing?
Well, I was living in a building that was just about to be sold, and at one point I found out that the only person in there was this guy who had lived there his whole life and who was going to be kicked out after, you know, was sold. But he was also a very unusual guy with a giant cyst here, which I thought was a goiter, and some severe scarring. And one day he came up to my apartment, and I was almost squatting this apartment, you know, knowingly, but the building was going to be sold soon. And Roman came and knocked on the door, and he always kind of tilted his head, and he said, "Can I borrow your phone?" And I said, "How long do you need it for?" 7 hours, you know. Anyway, you'll hear more about him in this little piece. And I, you know, and it was the conflict of really caring for this person, and then here I am thinking, maybe I should buy the building. And so all these different voices, but how, you know, could I, you know, take a building either with him in it or have to get him out, or, you know, so there was some conflict about that. And so I had a lot of the voices coming kind of as a Greek chorus in a way, from different perspectives, but very special guy. Now they sold the building, and he actually doesn't have the big thing there anymore.
So that's Roman. So after that, we'll hear another, a longer, more, you know, more in-depth pre-recorded work, Tohu Wabohu,
yes,
which was produced initially, as you said, for an installation that was a collaboration with Ursula Scherer, right?
Yes.
So there have been several versions of it, and the version that we're going to hear was ultimately created for Austrian radio.
Right, Kunstradio.
Right. So it's kind of a radio piece, and that too has a kind of a story and a sort of it's very thematic. Do you want to tell us a little bit about
Tohu Wabohu, as you guys know, is the chaos and the emptiness and the void before light came, you know, in Genesis. Mm-hmm. And this installation with Ursula, it was a 5.1 installation in a church. And when I did it in that way, and she had this incredible installation, and the chapel had 40-foot ceilings, and there was driftwood and seaweed, and very beautiful. And my piece actually had a lot more space in it than it does now, because it really, you know, people came through and, you know, could spend as much time as they wanted in there, and so I really played with the silence. And then when I did it for the radio, when I adapted it, I condensed it and added the part that you'll hear at the end of the piece, which I never would have put with the installation, but it was my own thoughts about Tohu Wabohu, what is this, you know. So I don't want to say too much about it, but at the end, you can ask any questions if you'd like. And then I'm going to read a story also.
Right. Well, before we go on to the describing the rest of the program, I just want to ask you a little bit more about these two pieces and you know, just kind of a more general kind of question about your work. I mean, certainly the storytelling and the, you know, there's a kind of theatricality to your work in general. I mean, the story, is that kind of an explicit or is it just an innate thing that happens? Are you trying to, you know, tell a story literally or is it just kind of how things come out for you?
Well, with the Roman, I wrote the text, mm-hmm. so, you know, it was a story,
right,
it is a story.
Right.
And with the other piece, it was more of an evocative thing in trying to create atmospheres.
Mm-hmm. Of chaos and
yeah.
And I mean
it's theatrical because it's also the voice and you know very gestural and mm-hmm. so mm-hmm. I hope it's very connected to the body as well. So mm-hmm. these very abstract voices that I do still are very present in the body mm-hmm. and body makes them happen.
Yes. Well, great. Okay. Well, so moving along. So then you're going to read this is a new text that you wrote. You were recently in residence in California at
yeah.
the Montalvo Art
right.
Center, and you did some writing. And I should say, this is something I've come to learn about you and follow your writings. You've been very public in a sense, or certainly open and sort of writing stories pretty much regularly on Facebook and elsewhere. And so this seems to be, I gather this has been a part of your life, forever. But for me, it's kind of, I'm just getting to know this about you. So I gather this story that you're going to read for us is a recent story, I guess a kind of memories and some literal story from your life, right?
Right. And speaking of the connection to the body again, I placed papers of this size on the wall in different places. So some I tried to write things, and I was in San Francisco when I was 18 years old in 1971, and I was in a theater group, and I kept thinking this is the most amazing, time of my life in a way. I have such great memories. But as I was trying to do all of this writing, I had paper high, so I would write standing on a slant, and then I wrote crouched and just tried to figure, try to just let it come out and mm-hmm. see what stories. And not all the stories were very pleasant. You'll hear. But and so now I'm really trying to figure out how. I was always doing a lot of things where I would twist abstract sound into something more narrative. So the language would become abstract or just pure sound and then move into some language. But in my residency there, I did a huge amount of writing and a lot of just pure a cappella choral pieces, which were so simple. I lived in this space, I had three floors to myself, and I started out at the top every morning from the bedroom, walking down, it was always something like that, and going down, and then I would see, and every day I felt like singing. And now I'm thinking, how am I gonna, do I want to put it all together? Do I want to keep the writing separate and just have these little choral interludes? New things are brewing.
Awesome. So this story is, does this have a title, this text?
Well, before I start it, I'll say something. The very bizarre thing, you'll see that clogs are an important part of the story, and then I come here, of course, and there are three pairs of clogs here, and it's very bizarre, Michael, you can attest to that. But that often happens. I feel very often that my life is a bunch of mistakes, and then I wind up, something happens out of something that shouldn't have happened, or something that I didn't want to have, or it's something that I wanted to happen that didn't happen, and it led to something wonderful, or sometimes something not so wonderful. But clogs.
Yeah, well,
to have them, you know, be here.
The old Stone House, there are many things going on here, but history and teaching the history of the borough and of the neighborhood all the way back to the Dutch settlers is a big part of what's going on here at the house, which is why we have these clogs here. We have schools here, classes of children coming for workshops and so on. So that explains how the clogs got here.
I know, but it's just kind of kooky.
It is kooky. Right. It's great.
You know, but it's often like that.
Sure. Well, great. So you'll explain that a little bit more, and then we're going to conclude with a duo with Michael Evans, percussionist and thereminist, which is I guess we're loosely, as far as I know, you're calling it the Bernard Herrmann Project. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, it's come out of, I did a lot of performances over the years using these. Using music from his soundtracks,
right,
and
right.
kind of collaging them and
right.
singing with them, telling stories with them. And I've had one time Pamelia Kirsten, who plays theremin,
mm-hmm.
joined in on one of the little sections, but I've never, before Michael, had these musical interludes. And he's amazing, of course.
Pamelia's amazing.
What?
Right.
Right. And this is Bernard Herrmann, just to clarify, the famous film soundtrack composer of Psycho and numerous Hitchcock films and many others.
And you know, he Fahrenheit 451.
451.
Which
so
you'll hear some of. But it's really an experiment. I've flung some of these little pieces at Michael without us, you know, we tried to have a little get together over Skype. So thank you for being part of this kind of experiment that we're doing,
right.
which we hope to develop.
Right. So that's the whole evening, and we'll have a little breaks here and there just to reset things. But we're not gonna have like a full blown intermission or anything. So don't go any.